Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome to the Sahara Force India podcast, taking you behind the scenes here at the Spanish Grand Prix. On this episode, we meet Force India's development driver, Alfonso Celis.
It's what I love, it's what I like, it's a one lifetime opportunity and I'm not planning to waste it.
We find out what it takes to feed the Sahara Force India team over a race weekend.
He always has cheese and ham toast, he's after the race.
And Otmar Szafnauer and Sergio Perez give us their post-race analysis.
So, Dzeko, a seventh place. Are you happy with that?
Yes, I think I'm happy. I'm satisfied. I think it was definitely the maximum we could do, we could have achieved. And let's look forward for the next races. And I think we did a good improvement today, but there's still more to come as degradation was big on us today. There are a lot of things that we have to analyze, but I think we are getting closer to our competition. We're still far ahead from them, from Toro Rosso and Williams, but I hope we can move forward.
A little bit of a quiet race for you, not many sort of battles on the track.
Yeah, it was quite quiet until the end, really, until the last two, three laps when Felipe was coming a lot faster on fresher tires. So yeah, it was important to maintain the position.
And looking ahead to Monaco, is that going to be a track that will suit you and the car?
Yes, I think Monaco, the driver can be sometimes more important, so yeah, looking forward to it.
And what did you make of the updates this weekend?
I think we did a step forward, very good step, and we need more, basically, in the same direction. We know the direction, so hopefully the next step that comes can move us forward.
So, Otmara, a mixed race, I think it's safe to say, for Force India, but you must be satisfied with Checo's result.
Yeah, definitely. Seventh place, I think, for Checo is probably the best we could have done with the strategy that we employed. And another bit of good news is we're able to two-stop it like we planned. So I think we've worked on getting the tire degradation better, and we've proven that the changes we've made have helped.
Was it touch and go between a two-stop and a three-stop during the race?
Yeah, and even before. So, both were about theoretically as quick as each other. So it meant we had to choose by track position and where we would come out if we three-stopped and who we would be behind. Because another consideration here is it's not easy to overtake.
And that's something that Felipe Massa proved, because he couldn't quite get past Sergio in the closing laps.
Yeah, so exactly right. You've got to have a significant either tire advantage or speed advantage to overtake. And with us having the same powertrain as Williams, it makes it much more difficult. And I think towards the end of the race, although he was on newer tires, when the delta is towards the end of the tire life, it doesn't matter as much as at the beginning.
Do we know what happened to Nico? Because obviously he retired quite early.
Yeah, I don't know exactly, but it looked like from all the data and what we saw on the television that it was an oil leak, but I don't know where from and why.
Looking ahead to Monaco in a couple of weeks' time, what can we expect from Force India there? Is it going to be a track that suits you?
Yeah, I think so. I think Monaco, as well as Montreal and Azerbaijan, we should be stronger at all those tracks. Traditionally, or in the past, Barcelona didn't suit us well. So for us to finish a strong seventh, bodes well for the upcoming races.
A lot of upgrades this weekend. Were you pleased with how they performed?
Yes, they did exactly what we thought they were designed to do. We haven't quite tuned them yet, so there's more to come, but that will happen in time.
We're now here with Alfonso Celis, the Force India development driver. Alfonso, give us a little introduction to yourself. Where did you come from? How did you get into racing?
Well, I'm Mexican. I'm 19 years old currently. And, well, I've started a couple of years ago. It's my fifth year in Europe as professional driver. And, yeah, finally here, made it to the top. Making a dream come through, for sure.
You've done a few free practice one sessions so far this season. How cool has that been?
Well, definitely something pretty interesting. I mean, to be part of F1 Grand Prix weekend, it's something big in my life, for sure. I guess both of them could have been better, for sure. I'm still learning the car, learning how F1 works, especially in a race weekend, which is pretty busy, and you know, you've got some pressure from time margin. You don't get to do much running, so I mean, it's tough for sure. It's different to doing a test where you have the whole day to perform and obviously improve step by step. As I think, as a young driver, you need more time to get into the pace, because it's obvious you don't want to risk any mistakes.
So let's go back 10 years, maybe 15 years. How did you first get interested in motorsport?
Well, I used to race motorcycles when I was younger. Till, yeah, mom said, you know, you should really, really quit. So, yeah, she pushed me off a bit. So yeah, I ended up retiring from motorcycles, and then I said, for sure, all right, my condition is I want a go-kart. So that's basically how this all started. Obviously, while I was racing motorcycles, I used to see Formula One, and I used to wonder how would it feel to be driving one of these cars. So I mean, to be achieving my dream of working now with a Formula One team, it's something for sure. One of, I would say, my biggest achievements in life.
So growing up, there wasn't a Mexican Grand Prix. It returned last year. Did you go? How excited are you about this season's race there?
Well, for sure, really excited. Last year, actually, I couldn't go because I had a race weekend on that same weekend. So, yeah, a bit of a shame on that one, but hopefully I will be there this year. And yeah, for sure. I mean, to be just, I can just imagine what it will be like to race in front of my people. I mean, it's been a while without racing in Mexico, and I mean, to be able to even take part in the free practice, I'm not sure if I will, but I mean, it will be a dream for sure.
So what is your role as a development driver entail? Do you do any work on the simulator? Do you speak to engineers? What do you actually do?
Yeah, I think as my role this year, it's basically to learn. So I'm pretty much everywhere trying to be like a sponge, you know, just learn and absorb all the information from the racing drivers are really experienced, the both of them. They're really valued F1 drivers. I mean, it's just incredible to have the opportunity to be working next to them, to be listening to what their feedback is, and just to be involved in the whole procedure and watch it by the outside is different. Sometimes when you're the one with the helmet on, there are some things you miss for sure, and some things you cannot think about. So I think it's important. It's a big opportunity for me to be in the position where I am, because I can see the things as well from the outside, and then apply them when I get the chances of driving.
How has it been like working with Nico and Checo? Do you work closely with them, or do they do their own thing?
Well, I think as drivers, everyone got its own people here and its own environment. But I mean, I've learned from them quite a lot, especially with Sergio being Mexican. It's easier to communicate, to be just you know, to work with for sure. And but I mean, I've been learning a lot from both of them in general, and as well from the team point of view. I mean, the injuries have helped me a lot every time I'm on track. And yeah, it's been wonderful. I mean, these opportunities I've had, and yeah, I certainly look forward to keep driving the car.
Are you still going to be racing this season, or is this now your main focus?
It is my main focus, but as well I'm racing in Formula 3.5 V8, which is also a big focus. It's my main focus as well. So it's I don't have any preference for both of them. Fortunately, I have almost no clashes, so I can be everywhere, a bit of everywhere. So yeah, I'm just fully committed to both of them and really excited about this year.
So presumably, if you have no clashes, you're at a racetrack every weekend. Do you have time for any other hobbies, or is it all just racing?
Well, yeah, pretty much it's all racing. It's been like that since last year. I as well did the GP3 and World Series, which, yeah, it's a bit of traveling. But, I mean, it's what I love. It's what I like. It's a one lifetime opportunity, and, yeah, I'm not planning to waste it.
What's your favorite country you've been to in all of the traveling?
Mexico.
Okay, apart from Mexico.
Apart from Mexico, I would say Spain is my second home. I currently live here in Barcelona, actually. So, yeah, I mean, I'm happy there's a Grand Prix there, and I can get to watch it closely. But yeah, it's not quite often you get to sleep at your own house, you know, while being on a race weekend. So, I mean, I'm happy there's a Barcelona Grand Prix.
So do you stay in your own house for the Barcelona Grand Prix?
Yeah, actually, I've been doing that since last year. I mean, the team's hotel, it's normally same distance from my house, so yeah, it's weird. It's very, very, very rare that I wake up and then I drive to the track and I'm racing there, so it's something I had never experienced before, because I used to live in Mexico before, so yeah, I was quite far from all the races.
You've got a couple of test days coming up next week in Barcelona with the Force India team. What are you hoping to learn from that?
Well, I think it's a great opportunity to get 2 days in the middle of the season, especially with the big package coming up in Barcelona. It's a great opportunity to keep helping the team, and as well the team helping me to get more mileage. So I mean, it's a win-win. You know, I will win experience and I mean, to help to do all the aero passes and to keep developing the car with the new updates coming up. It's amazing for me, and as well, I mean, to keep driving during a test, you normally have quite some running. So I mean, it will be good. I'm fully excited and fully committed and ready to begin the tests.
So James is the head chef here at Force India. So how does it work? You arrive at a racetrack. How long before the sort of racing gets underway? Do you go down to the local supermarkets and buy all your food?
It varies, really. We use we do use local supermarkets, or markets, as much local and fresh kind of produce as we can. Yeah, and we start doing that the Monday before the race. If it's further away, the earlier we go, basically, to do that.
Is it difficult to balance, you know, what the guy driving the truck might want for dinner and what a racing driver might want for dinner?
It's not too bad. The guy driving the truck's like pretty easy to please, right? And to be honest, the racing drivers they're not hard to cook for. They're because they're on strict diets and stuff like that, so they pretty eat very similar towards the race weekend, you know. So it's not as difficult as you think, I suppose. Pretty simple food, really, what they eat.
And do the drivers have their own sort of nutritionists and they tell you what they want to eat, or?
Yeah, we basically give them certain options, and then their nutritionist will say, or, you know, we'll have this and this. And it's basically simple things like, you know, salmon or chicken, and then rice or pasta, but very, generally quite plain, really. So it's not really that difficult for me.
So what if, what is the most difficult part of your job, would you say?
The timing is quite tight, and obviously the lads are, you're not, it's, I think that's the, well, I suppose, yeah, that's what the difference is between cooking in a hotel or restaurant and cooking here. You have a mad, everyone has to be fed before a certain time, you know, or at a certain time, and that is, you know, you have a, it's a very, when everything comes together, it's a, you have a very busy, busy hour, I suppose. But the, you know, but then it stops there. It's like, you know, it's very, like a restaurant's constant. This is, you do a lot of work beforehand, and then you have a very, very busy hour where you feed everyone at once.
Do any of the drivers have any particular things they like or dislike or little treats they get?
Yeah, I don't know if I'm allowed to mention them. Nico Hulkenberg eats carrot cake all week. Sergio Perez, he always has cheese and ham toasties after the race.
Mate, you haven't got pineapple downstairs ready?
I haven't, but you can do some. There's berries in the fridge down here.
So Nico Hulkenberg has just come out the room and he's gone, have you got any pineapple? Are they quite demanding?
No, not too bad. It's quite easy going, really.
Lastly, do you feel a part of when things go well on the track? Does that affect you at all? Do you notice, you know, everyone's a bit happier in the kitchen? Or?
Yeah, you do notice. I mean, yeah. Generally really busy, though. So trying to back down. But yeah, you do notice. You just see a change of atmosphere and that. We got a podium in Russia last year. We were invited to go in the team pit photo and stuff like that. I mean, yeah, I feel part of a team, definitely.
Join us next time for another Sahara Force India podcast.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Welcome back to Two Judgy Girls. I'm Mary from the Bay.
And I'm Courtney from LA. TJG is the podcast where we spill all the tea on your favorite reality TV shows, celebrity gossip, and everything in between. We're here to bring you our unfiltered opinions, hilarious commentary, and plenty of laughs along the way.
We're two SDSU Delta Gamma sisters with a microphone and a whole lot of opinions. Each week, we dive headfirst into the wild world of reality television, from Bravo to all the trash TV you could want. We break down the drama, dissect the latest scandals, and share our thoughts on everything from the jaw-dropping moments to the embarrassing antics.
But that's not all. We're not here to just gossip. We're here to connect with you, the jurors, and share our love of all things pop culture. Whether we're dishing on the latest celebrity breakups, discussing our favorite guilty pleasure movies, or sharing embarrassing stories from our own lives, we promise to keep it real, keep it fun, and keep you coming back for more.
Come judge with us.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.